Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Before we jump into this program, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. It's a credit union, not just a bank, so it belongs to you. www.mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org on our website, click on their banner, and all the information will be right there. There is a, when we had our Annapolis summit last 2 weeks ago, at the first day of the session, one of the questions I asked Governor Martin O'Malley, among many, was about this tobacco tax and whether or not he agreed or disagreed that we should tax tobacco, cigars like cigarettes, and whether we should tax these candied flavored cigarettes, as cigarettes, or should they stay as cigars? Some people argue that it is tantalizing for our young people that to buy these candy-flavored pieces of tobacco. Others say that's absurd. This is a way to do business. So we said that was going to be one of the many 10, 15 issues we'd be covering between now and the end of the session. So we put our feet in it, and we are on the air with it. And you can join us here at 410-319-8888. Delegate Sean Tarrant is with us from District 40 here on the west side of Baltimore, and Sean's always good to have you in the station in the studio with us.
Thank you. Good evening.
Bruce Beriano is with us, who is a lobbyist for the Maryland Association of Candy and Tobacco Wholesalers. Bruce, good to have you here.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for coming up. And Vinny DeMarco is in the studio. He is president of Maryland Citizens Health Initiative.
Thanks, Mark. Nice to be here.
And callers, why don't you call in 410-319-8888. Guess who's on which side? No, just kidding. So let's begin in all seriousness. This is a bill that came up last year. Sean, you actually brought it to my attention last year.
Right.
As something you were pushing in the House.
Right. This is a bill that actually been sponsoring since 2007. It was brought to my attention by then Baltimore City Health Commissioner Dr. Josh Sharfstein that we had some problems in our community with the youth smoking candy-flavored cigars, cigars that come in flavors of grape, strawberry, vanilla, chocolate. And they smoke them because they're inexpensive. They're less than a dollar. And they can sometimes open them up and put marijuana in them and smoke them. People don't know they're even smoking and getting high because they think they're smelling grape or strawberry flavor. So when I found out about it,
Blunts with a flavor.
So I realized I got to do something about it. And so I put in two different bills to be able to attack that issue. One would be able to put them in packs of four or more. Which would make it more expensive for kids to get a hold of them. And then also the other one was to tax them at a higher rate and change the definition of what is a cigar and help it kind of fit in the same category as a cigarette. Because, you know, cigarettes can only be sold in packs of 20. They cannot be sold individually. Is it against the law to sell an individual cigarette? People who do it at these smaller stores, they are breaking the law.
So, and Bruce Beriano, I mean, I'm curious the position of the industry on this that you represent.
The position is very, very simple. This is an enforcement problem. Since 1990, the law has been very clear that minors cannot possess, use, or smoke tobacco products. I supported that legislation, worked very hard towards its passage. Governor Schaefer got that enacted. The notion that these flavored cigars and tobacco products are done for youth is just fallacious. These flavored products have been on the market for a very long period of time. There are a myriad of products, even go away from tobacco products for a moment, that are different sizes, flavors. I mean, it's a consumer choice issue. If there is a problem in Baltimore City, and I believe the delegate, apparently he feels there is a problem in Baltimore City, I strongly urge that it be rectified through proper enforcement. But, you know, requiring the packaging uniquely in Baltimore, or excuse me, in the state of Maryland,
yeah,
of the cigars and packages of four, my clients distribute in a variety of states. The manufacturers distribute and make the product for a variety of states. And I just respectfully don't think it's real common sense to say if you require it being a package of four, you're going to solve the problem. You're going to have some retailers breaking the law, breaking them open and selling them individually. You're going to have someone going in there, buying a pack, breaking it open, and then reselling them. You're going to have a cottage industry individually. And who gets hurt but the legitimate convenience store and what have you. I was in a Wawa yesterday, and I deliberately went there knowing I'd be on the program here today. And I watched them, and I was amazed at how meticulously they card everybody. They take the driver's license. They scan it. There were two people that the clerk rejected because it didn't scan properly. I mean, the retailers are really trying to do their job. And it's just very unnecessary.
If I might say...
go ahead, Sean. I'm going to get into it.
As far as... there are those retailers like a Wawa, which we have no Wawas in Baltimore City, that will do a good job, like some of the large drug stores, carding people, the Rite Aids and the places like
7-Elevens.
Walgreens and 7-Elevens. Those are real businesses with corporate headquarters. But in Baltimore City, we have a lot of small mom-and-pop stores that are owned by folks that don't have those kind of commitments to the community and really feel as if they sell it to whomever has a dollar. Now, as far as the cigars being a situation where you're saying is they're legitimately being sold and what we're trying to do is really just make sure we keep kids healthy. There's no one that you'll find that will say to you that there's a benefit to smoking. And so by enticing a young person to purchase a grape or strawberry or vanilla cigar, it's really being targeted towards young people because very few adults, after finishing a steak at a fine steakhouse or even an Applebee's, is going to request a banana or a cherry cigar to finish off their meal. Just like Joe Camel with the cartoon and all those things. It's a way, and my background is marketing and sales. I really hate the player this time. Because the player is really trying to go after the youth. Anytime that I'm out talking to kids, I'm talking to fifth graders. Matthew Henson Elementary School last week down at the Capitol, those kids could name every flavor of cigar. Fifth graders? Not saying they're smoking it, but they got older siblings. They got other relatives because their flavors are appealing to the kids, and they can't wait to try them. Because they know they're in their community.
I want to first thank Delegate Tarrant for his years of leadership. He is really one of the top public health advocates in the Maryland General Assembly.
Thank you.
And because of his leadership and many others in the Maryland General Assembly, we have made tremendous progress in Maryland in reducing the smoking of cigarettes. Since 1999, smoking of cigarettes has gone down 32% in Maryland, double the national average. Saving 70,000 people from the horrors of cigarette-caused death. Why? Because we've increased the cigarette tax three times. Increasing that cigarette tax has dramatically reduced smoking amongst adults and amongst kids of cigarettes, saving many lives. Unfortunately, in the last couple times we've raised the cigarette tax, although we wanted to also raise the tax on cigars and smokeless, that was not done. As a result, while cigarette smoking amongst kids has been going down recently, as Sean Delegate Tarantis pointed out, cigar smoking among kids has been going up, partly because of the targeting through these flavored cigars and partly because the tax has not gone up.
Right. Well, before we open the phones, Bruce, I'm going to let you have a chance to come back and have some questions for all of you. But
it's just political rhetoric. I mean, there's nothing to support the statements that were just made whatsoever. You're talking about people, particularly the person that just spoke. He is anti-tobacco. I mean, wants a smoke-free Maryland. So using the kids, using the flavored cigars is a Trojan horse. You know, they're going to tax cigars, and then after that they'll go to pouches, they'll go to other tobacco products. These are lawful products. I'd like to see some arrests. I would love to see, respectfully, some police officers, out at those mom-and-pop shops, undercover, pop a couple of people, and then the word will get out. You can't do that. You're going to lose your trader's license. You're going to be closed down. I'd like to see very strict enforcement because products should not be sold to children. They should not. But these are laws that are being proposed that are affecting adults, not just in the Baltimore City area, but throughout the entire state of Maryland. And It's an inconvenience. It's not necessary. It's very bad policy.
Mark, the fact is smoking of cigarettes has gone down dramatically, and smoking of cigars has gone up. And smokeless tax is substantially lower than where it should be. It should be comparable to cigarette tax. That's why we praise Governor O'Malley for proposing a very reasonable increase in a tax on cigars and smokeless tobacco to make it comparable to cigarettes, so we could save kids' lives.
15% to 70%, very reasonable.
It makes it comparable
to
cigarettes.
Utterly ridiculous.
The goal is to put up a fence. People have pools in their backyard, and it's required for them to have a fence up. Surely you can teach everybody in the community to swim. But before they learn how to swim, you put up a fence.
But wait a minute. There are – let's just take one of the arguments here. Let's take these one by one, then we'll open the phones after this one, and then we'll go through all of them. There's already a law. There's two things we're saying here. One, Vinny is saying tax cigarettes, cigars, and flavored cigarettes and cigars as you would a cigarette.
Right. Yes.
A, right? B, you're saying that they shouldn't be able to package them the way they're packaged – to make it more difficult to buy, more expensive to buy.
I've had both bills in.
So the question I have is, if there's already a law, let's say what the reasons for this are. There are already laws that say minors cannot buy cigarettes. Now, look, you know, we all grew up certain ways. So even when we were kids, if you want to buy a pack of cigarettes, just like if you wanted to buy a beer, you're going to find someone to go do it for you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There's always a guy on the block who says, well, give me extra 50 cents, I'll go buy these cigars for you, whatever
that
is.
Right, right.
So the issue in some way, why isn't the issue what Bruce is saying for you, that of an issue of enforcement? I mean, it's a law that says minors cannot buy tobacco products.
Enforcement doesn't work because, it requires for the state to spend a lot of money to have that kind of manpower on the street. I've been to all kinds of conferences, and it's very expensive to have somebody monitor a small mom and pop shop. Now, if you look at Newark and New Jersey, the pack of Newports in Newark, New Jersey is $11.50, and they have the greatest decrease in teen smoking because teens are price sensitive. There's not a good argument to say that you should have cigarettes and cigars, the price be marked in a way that teens can afford. With a pack being for $11.50, there's a whole lot of folk that quit smoking the day that tax passed. A pack of Newports in Brooklyn, New York is $11.50. God bless them. You got to do it.
Saves lots of lives. And the fact is, Mark, that's happened in Maryland, too. We've reduced smoking of cigarettes dramatically. But we have not reduced smoking of cigars and smokeless amongst kids because we've not raised those prices. Let's do that and do a delegate for Antisayan.
Now, I'm up on the phone, Sheila.
I think we ought to run everybody's people lives, tell people what they should do, what they should not do. I mean, let's make this a complete nanny state. I mean, God forbid adults, you know, should be able to smoke and use tobacco products. They don't know what to do with their own lives. I mean, let's leave people alone. We have too many laws on the books. If respectfully, Delegate Tarrant, enforcement doesn't work at all, then why are we proposing to put a new law to create greater restrictions when that's not going to be enforced?
Because tax increases do work. Tax increases work.
Making four in a pack, if you don't have enforcement now, you're not going to have enforcement then. And what you're doing is you're having the adult person that maybe lives out in Western Maryland, lives on the Eastern Shore, lives in Southern Maryland, who occasionally likes to smoke a single cigar, doesn't want to buy a four-pack because he wants them fresh. You can't smoke them everywhere the way the laws are these days. And maybe they don't have the money to buy a four-pack, so they want to buy a single. They're totally inconvenienced. They're forced to buy something or do a purchase pattern that they don't want to do because it's an enforcement problem. It's not right. It's not going to achieve any results.
We're talking about cheap cigars. You got to clear up for people. We're not talking about the expensive cigars, the Cubans and all that. We're talking about cigars that sell for $2 or less.
But some people can only afford a $2 or less cigar.
That a lot of people do smoke.
Well, they'll be paying $2.89 now.
Facts are stubborn things. The fact is when you increase the price of these products, kids' lives will be saved, and that's what we're talking about.
Let me open the phone to what our listeners think. Because there's a reason we're going to come back to it. The question is, why, if this is so logical from your perspective, why does it not pass?
It will pass this year.
I'll tell you why it doesn't pass. One of them is because you have certain committees that are really have the culture of let the buyer beware, and they're very moderate in their decision-making, and they're not health committees. For a long time in Annapolis, any type of smoking and health-related issues that came up in the General Assembly were assigned to health and government operations. We couldn't get out the ban on indoor smoking out of our committee because of the makeup of our committee and the persons that had a lot of bars in their district. So they moved it to economic matters, which is a business committee where it's extremely difficult to get out any kind of business regulations. Even though when things purely make sense to be able to do, that's a committee that really tries not to do anything to interfere with people's the way they run their businesses. And people feel as if this is something, as Mr. Barriana has said, you're going to make business people have to do something differently, package them differently, even though they're hurting and harming children.
Let me open the lines here. 410-319-8888. A couple of you have hung up. Sue and those guys call back. We'll get to your calls at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. And Aaron, on the east side, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Good. Welcome, Aaron. Good to have you with us.
Well, Mark, I got to correct something that you said a little earlier.
Okay.
You're a little behind the times with the 50 cents for a straw purchase. There's a whole lot more than that. There's a whole lot more than 50 cents, I'll be here to tell you.
I'm old, man. I'm old. It's been a while.
You're a little behind the times on that. But having said that, I'm going to ask Mr. Barriano a question. You know the effects of these cheap cigars on communities like several in Delegate Torrance District and like in East Baltimore? Because I, as a community leader, I can tell you that when those cheap cigars are sold and marijuana is used from them, the kind of havoc it creates in our communities is frightening. And not only that, the fact that they're predominantly sold in poor areas as loose cigarettes, and upper class and suburban areas, you don't find them being sold as loose cigarettes, but they're sold and marketed, in fact, in some cases in some of these communities, to these young people.
Aaron, my client does not support the sale of loose cigarettes, and the law precludes that, and they don't do that at all. Regretfully, you have some retailers that break open packages, which is a violation of the law, and sell the loose cigarettes. And they should be prosecuted, and there should be enforcement, but unfortunately there's not.
Because I'm going to tell you, Mr. Barriano, that's a rampant practice in my neighborhood, and I'm sure in several neighborhoods in Delegate Torrance District.
I've spoken up against that. I agree with you. Loose cigarettes should not be sold.
Let me tell you about the effect those cheap flavored cigars do to a community. Because as many of you know, 9 times out of 10, those cigars are used to smoke marijuana, not just the cigars. And what that does to a community, and I've worked with families who are trying to get their children off of that stuff, the fact that you all make it widely available, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be sold. What I'm saying is they shouldn't be made attractive and widely available to young people.
Okay. Aaron, they're not made attractive. They're behind the counter. They're not prominently displayed.
Aaron, wait a minute. Let Bruce finish.
We don't desire to do that. These are products for adults, and stores should not sell them to minors. And I strongly urge that, and I support that.
Aaron, your community will be helped a lot if the governor's proposal to raise the tax on these products is enacted, so that Mr. Barriano's clients will make a little less money. That's true. But there will be a lot less kids smoking these products. That's the data. That's what's happened on cigarettes when the prices go up, less kids smoke. That's what happens in other states when the prices go up on cigars and smokeless. Less kids smoke. Your communities will be hurt less. Please call your legislators and urge them to support the governor's proposal for a reasonable tax on cigars and smokeless
tobacco.
Since
this is public radio, I would suggest that people call the legislators to support either side of this legislation, whatever you believe in. 410-319-8888 is the number here to call. Let's go to Sue. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, Mark, for covering this important topic. I live in Baltimore City. I interact with teenagers, and I know that they're going to buy these single package cigars. And in part, from my conversations with them about why they're doing that, you know, buying a cigar here and buying a cigar there, is they tell me that they can't afford to buy several at the same time. So if they were more expensive, then they would be deterred. And if they were packaged differently, they'd be deterred. And I also agree with Mr. Bariano that enforcement's important, too. Like, if there are stores that are selling these single cigars to the children, they should be fined, and the fine should be extraordinarily prohibitive so that they never make that kind of mistake again. But simultaneously, we have to make the price a deterrent as well, because currently the price makes it affordable for kids.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
Well, the thing is, and Sue, I appreciate your call. Well, the thing is, in Baltimore City, and really in urban areas, enforcement is not taken seriously, even by the people who are supposed to be enforcing the law when it comes to certain things. For example, I'm also a big proponent of having laws that prevent people from riding illegal dirt bikes in the streets of Baltimore, which wreak havoc on our streets. The cops don't chase them. The cops don't enforce the laws because they have much bigger issues of drugs and violence and other things that they're dealing with. And so we need to help them. Every time I put in legislation like this, they always thank me for putting legislation to make their jobs just a little bit easier, because they have so much on their plate in a city that has historically a lot of problems with substance abuse. And so the thing is, we need to do anything we can to remove something like cigars that have these flavors that entice children to put in marijuana into these cigars. And then they move on to other types of drugs. And then who needs to have a product out there that helps you to graduate to smoking, you know, a full pack per day? And there's no health. And there's no reason why to smoke these things, because there's nothing positive about smoking, period. There's not. There's only a negative twist when it comes to smoking those kinds of things.
410-319-8888. Let's go to another caller, and it's William in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Hi. How's everyone doing today?
Very good. Well. Welcome, good. William.
Hi.
How are you, William?
I live in the city. I've been in the city for 47 years. And when these things came about, these flavored cigars, whatever, basically it's they're used, like everyone says, for marijuana as a disguise. If I'm walking down the street, the teenager's walking down the street with a cigar, likelihood the cop's not going to stop him, because if it doesn't look like a joint, he's not going to bother him. But in the city, we have a lot of foreign-owned stores, corner stores, and some, I guess you want to say, liquor stores and gas stations. Those are the ones that carry these products. You can't go to a Wawa, like they said, and find these readily like you can in the city. They need to take the prices up, and hopefully it would deter, because basically what's going on, the city kids are going around smoking marijuana and these flavored cigars openly, because the law's not going to stop them unless you have an officer that know what it is and know what it's about.
Well, William, you and your community need the governor's proposal to be enacted, because that way, as you're saying, these prices will go up, less kids will use them, your community will be better off.
Well, I mean, there are two separate things. Let me just talk about one of the things that Walter said, just one about the marijuana, one about the ownership of the stores. I mean, I think it's also dangerous for us to get into a world where we start talking about people owning stores who are not Americans, who don't live here. Why do you own stores? That's not why cigarettes are being sold. People are sold because anybody will sell those cigarettes.
Right.
So to lay that out there, I think, is a dangerous.
Well, no, I'm not saying that foreigners who own stores shouldn't sell cigarettes. We're not talking cigarettes. We're talking these flavored cigars, correct?
No, I meant cigars.
Well, the thing is, let me say this, and thank you for your call. It's rare that you'll find a Rite Aid or Walgreens that will sell an individual cigar. They don't like to do that. They've seen my legislation. Matter of fact, Rite Aid actually supported my legislation when I did packs of four or more. However, because it's available to be sold in singles, a lot of the smaller no-name stores sell the individual cigars. And so the thing is, there's a difference as far as based on the type of store you have, and the type of business you're running as far as what products you make available. And so the smaller stores, this gentleman is mentioning, they're more likely to have cigars sold individually.
And just the other thing, then we'll go back to the phones. William and Ryan are the next two callers up. The reason police are – this is – don't get digressing this too deeply. But the reason police aren't stopping young people from smoking is because they're trying to bust fewer people smoking marijuana and clog up the jails so people don't need to be in them. And that's a big part of the reason the police aren't stopping them. Police know exactly what's happening when young kids are 15 years old smoking blunts in the street. Everybody else does, too. This is not like some mystery. So,
but it's not like the police have tried and enforcement has tried and failed, and therefore let's go penalize the my clients, the wholesalers or the manufacturers or the retailers. There's been no enforcement effort made, and it should be made. There's an obligation to do that. These laws are put on the books to be obeyed, to be respected. And we can't just dismiss that and throw the burden, which I don't think is ever going to be achieved, of saying, well, let's put them in packs of four. I wish that was correct, but there will be a cottage industry of breaking up those and selling them at a higher price, and they will be sold. I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
What do you think would happen, Bruce, if they raised the tax? If that happened this year, what do you think would happen?
People are going to buy outside the jurisdiction. I mean, I think, you know, what you're hearing is just poppycock. I mean, it's you know, as the prices go up, and if gasoline is going to go up, God forbid, people are going to go in other jurisdictions. You know, no more than 90 minutes away from any other jurisdiction in any point in the state of Maryland, sometimes 30 minutes away. And they will buy the product elsewhere.
This is the most common smokescreen that the tobacco lobby uses to try to stop these life-saving laws. In 2007, Maryland increased its cigarette tax from $1 a pack to $2 a pack. There was a dramatic drop in actual smoking, not data on sales, but data on actual smoking. That's why Maryland has one of the lowest smoking rates in the country now. And the analysis was done showing that of the five contiguous states, three of them raised their cigarette tax around the same time and had about over 100 million fewer packs of cigarettes sold. Three of them didn't raise their prices, their taxes, and they had about 20 million more. There was a huge drop in actual smoking.
So who has not raised their taxes around the state of Maryland?
Well, in 2007, it was Virginia, Pennsylvania, Virginia and Pennsylvania and West Virginia that didn't. Delaware, D.C., and Maryland did. But the fact is people will actually reduce their smoking dramatically if you increase the price, especially kids who aren't going to drive to Pennsylvania. This tax that the governor's proposing will help all of these
dollars.
$30
million. That's what – if you tax other tobacco products, the moist snuff and the cigarillos and things like that, it could potentially generate $30 million.
Exactly.
And I would hope that the public would be sick and tired of every time going to the smoking adult population and putting a tax burden on their backs. Leave these adults alone. Stop taxing them. Either ban the product and make it illegal or leave them alone.
Or try to save their
lives. It is grossly unfair to continue to tax adults that are smoking and using tobacco products. It's each and every time that's done, because the real desire is to prevent adults from smoking, proselytize, tell people, I'm going to tell you how to run your life. I'm going to tell you what your social habits are going to be and what you can do and what you can't do. It's very resentful, very resentful. We don't need government running our lives.
We got to take a break, and we come back. We're going to go back to our callers. Let me tell you guys, don't hang up because we get to all your calls. I think we talked to Walter, did we not? Yes. So then comes Ryan and William, Walter, Angel, and Mike. You're all going to get your voices heard in the air. You just heard the voice of Bruce Biriano, a lobbyist for the Maryland Association of Candy and Tobacco Wholesalers. Sean Terrance with us, Maryland delegate from District 40, who has put this legislation in over the years. And Vinny DeMarco, president of Maryland Citizens Health Initiative. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we are talking about a bill that is being battled and will be battled in the state legislature, whether to force the sale of flavored tobacco products to be put in packs of four and raise the taxes on them as you would a cigarette. That's the debate we're having.
As well as taking unflavored cigars, single cigars, and forcing them to be sold in packs of four.
Is that true?
Well, that actually is not the – the governor's bill is –
I should introduce you. The voice you just heard, Bruce Periano, who's Maryland Association of Candy and Tobacco Wholesalers Lobbyist, and who you're about to hear, Sean Tarrant, delegate from the 40th, and you'll hear in a few minutes, I'm sure, he's not a quiet sort of guy, as Vinnie DeMarco, president of Maryland Citizens Health Initiative. We do want to get these calls, so what are you going to say?
Real quickly, the tobacco products, the governor's looking to take it from 15% of wholesale to tax it to 70% of wholesale price. So it's not about put them in more packs. It's about taxing them at a higher rate. For example, if you were to take a pack of cigars right now that sell for like $2, they would go up. For example, if they were sold for $5.29, they would go up to $7.82. A Swisher Sweet would go from $1.49 to $2.21. A Black and Mild would go from $1.49 to $2.21. So for an adult smoking these products, they would still be able to afford them, but it would be less attractive to our youth that are being targeted by these flavored
some
products.
And the fact is, since 1999, we've increased the cigarette tax several times, which has caused a significant drop in youth smoking. Cigar smoking kids has gone up. We need to do what Delegate Tarrant is saying to reduce kid use of those deadly products.
And your thoughts are 410-319-8888. We'll go to the phones again. Ryan, you're on the air.
I would just like to say that I agree with the fact that we shouldn't incentivize our youth to smoke cigarettes or tobacco, et cetera, by having these multiple flavors, you know, be it strawberry, banana, et cetera. By me growing up in Baltimore City, I have many friends who grew up with me who the difference between a lot of, you know, myself and my other friends have been the fact that they've become addicted to marijuana and other drugs because they were able to buy cigars and Swisher Sweets, et cetera, other tobacco products from an early age. So I personally vehemently feel as though it has adversely affected their lives. I'd also like to say that, you know, Mr. Bariano earlier said that taxing the cigarettes or the small cigarettes or tobacco, taxing them or breaking them up from, you know, not being able to sell them in single packs to putting them in four packs would affect somebody on the Eastern Shore or somewhere else. I think that's an issue of moral hazard. If somebody doesn't want to make our youth more healthy, you know, because they don't want to pay an additional tax or they don't want to have to pay for four, I think that's a significant issue of moral hazard. And it's not about the dollars and cents. It's about the health of our youth. So that's my comment.
Great comment.
Thank you, Ryan.
Vinnie DeMarco said that.
Very cavalier with someone else's pocketbook, sir.
He's trying to save lives. And you know, Mark, I want to say your caller's views reflect the people of Maryland. We commissioned a poll by OpinionWorks, top state pollster. 72% of Marylanders all across the state, rural, urban, suburban, Republicans, Democrats, support the governor's proposal to have an increase in attacks on cigars and smokeless tobacco for the reasons this gentleman just said.
410-319-8888.
All the calls are coming from Baltimore City. They don't reflect the entire state of Maryland.
The poll says people agree with them.
Angel, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Angel. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, hello, folks. I just want to jump in here. I don't know if others have spoken earlier from the background that I come from, but I'm a registered nurse, been a nurse for 20 years. I primarily worked in public health and community health, and I absolutely and unequivocally support the proposal because I've yet to encounter any young person who has begun with cigarettes, marijuana, who has been able to look back on their life and say it was a good choice. I can tell you, having worked in the field, having worked in critical care, intensive care, I've yet to see any positive benefit come from smoking, period. And to infer that adolescent health is not an urgency that we all need to wrap our heads around, and at this point in our city's you know, evolution, is just absurd. I think it's absolutely absurd. It isn't about money. It isn't about the dollars and cents. And I really take umbrage with the gentleman's comment about, you know, a cavalier with someone else's pocketbook. You know, I've got to say that the health of young people in Baltimore City is urgent, and I just don't think that we should be cavalier about whether or not others on the Eastern Shore have, you know, the right or the money or what have you to purchase cigarettes. We're really talking about the health of the youth, and that to me should take priority above and beyond what adults, you know, would like to see who've lived, you know, 2-3 quarters of their lives already. So that's my comment.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Let's get another caller in here, and we'll come back to our thoughts here in the panel at 410-319-8888. Join us here as we debate and discuss whether or not there should be additional taxes on flavored tobacco.
And other tobacco products, OTP.
All other tobacco products?
Right. Yes, it's all other tobacco products.
Explain more.
You're talking about snuff?
You're talking about chewing
snuff,
tobacco?
Yes.
You're talking about
all tobacco products.
Right.
We're talking about saving lives of children from all non-cigarette tobacco products because we've already been saving their lives from cigarettes. We want to raise cigarette tax more eventually, but right now we're focused on—
When would you stop raising the cigarette tax? How far would you go with raising cigarette taxes? Let me ask this question. I mean, I understand the idea that we have sin taxes in our society and they pay for the things that we want or that we allegedly want and that, you know, that and there's no question, I think, from all the studies and everything else that cigarettes are not good for you to smoke. I think. Does anybody in this room smoke? I don't smoke
anymore.
We're not
talking about cigarettes. We're talking about cigars and other tobacco products. And those studies do not apply.
But there are studies showing the other tobacco products like cigars are very bad for you and smokeless. There are many studies. Bruce, if you want to say cigars don't cause cancer, you say that publicly, you'll regret it.
The question is, how far are you willing to go in taxing tobacco products? Because then at some point, doesn't it become...
He wants a smoke-free Maryland. Let's not kid ourselves. He and the hell, you know, and those that are proselytizing that want to run other people's lives, they don't want to ban the sale of the product because the state is hypocritical. They want the revenue from the product. But
the fact of the matter,
and we're going back to Sean. We're going back to Sean.
Mark, I want to answer your question. We have proposed an additional dollar increase in the cigarette tax in Maryland to go from $2 to $3. That will save thousands of more lives of adults and children and bring in another $100 million that can be used for health care. The health care expansion we've had in Maryland of 300,000 people was in large part funded by the 2007 cigarette tax increase.
I understand that. But
and
it
works.
But what I'm asking is, at what point do you say that you've taxed cigarettes enough?
We're far from that point. We don't know what that point is. We're far
so you
from
you will continue
it.
Fighting to tax cigarettes or any tobacco product as high as you can get.
We
a pack
know,
of cigarettes
right?
are $11.50 in New York.
And lives are being saved. And lives are being saved.
And a good corned beef sandwich is $23 in New York. Prices are higher in New York, period.
$23
That's at the fancy delis. I'll have you know I can take you anywhere in New York for $8.50. I can get you a corned beef and rye.
Whoa, this is a dare here.
All right, I'm going with you. See if that's true. If not, you're buying. 410-319-8888 is the number
the
here. So, Michael, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Mike Son is my delegate, Sean Teron, and my good friend, Bruce Berriana. I mean, this is a great show. I would like it to have been maybe involved in a little bit more from the standpoint that, you know, if we're talking about these stores within the community, because obviously we aren't talking about the stores that are corporate organized. But at the same time, have we had a conversation with Kango? Which is Korean Grocery Association. And I heard your comments earlier, Mark, but let's be clear, with 97% of all of the businesses being owned in African-American community owned by other people, you know, let's make sure that we direct our comments to who actually do own these businesses. But have we had these conversations to say, you're selling single cigarettes, you're selling these sweet cigarettes, you're selling this alcohol that tastes like Kool-Aid now. The thing's called sweet vodka, which is a chocolate milk vodka, and all of the other pathology things that are going on in the black community. I mean, I think it's a good bill. I applaud Delegate Tarani. He's always been on top of it, so you have my support on it. But I have to go with Bruce when we say, are we taking care of the laws that we have in place right now. Because what happens when the cigarettes went up? You can go on every corner. You can go on every bus stop. And someone is selling now single cigarettes. You create a whole new industry the higher it goes up.
So, Mike, let me ask you a question. So are you suggesting that you think it's a mistake to raise the taxes?
I think that there are other methods. A conversation needs to be held within the items and the products that are sold in our communities that maybe could slow down. And I agree that this is bad stuff for us, but it seems like that we're jumping over the fact that is anybody talking to the merchants? I mean, we're receiving great financial money from them during campaign season. If you look at Kango, who's the people who run the majority of our businesses in our community, look at who receives their financial monies during the campaign season. Do we say to them, hey, we don't want you to be selling XYZ in our communities anymore? Or do we blanket the whole state of Maryland and say, we're going to raise this price up because it's going to save lives, which I believe it does. But I think that there are two conversations that need to be held.
All right. I think
one is, are we taking care of the law that is in place now? And two, are we talking to the people who are creating the problems in our community?
Sean, let me let you tackle that one first.
Michael, how are you? Good to hear you on the radio, brother. I appreciate your call, man. You know, as far as the points that you are making, we do need to have that conversation with the Korean grocers and other folks. So I will do that, and I'm sure that you'll take me in your community and help me to do that where you are. So I'll do that. But the thing is, you can't overlook the benefit of taxing a product to a point where it makes it just less attractive. There are a lot of stores that do not sell individual cigarettes, and they abide by the law.
He's not saying stores. He's the people on the corner are selling individual cigarettes.
Well, some of the stores.
That's what he's saying. But that's what he's saying.
People on the corner, there's always that underground element. We're always going to have a certain percentage of our population that will buy a single cigarette or cigar. I mean, people buy cocaine and heroin. I mean, so buying a cigarette and cigar, they don't think anything of that. But so if we tax it, at least we know it works. It works in New York and New Jersey. Cigarette smoking, as far as in teens, is very high in the South. A pack of cigarettes, I was vacationing in South Carolina a couple of years ago, it's like $3. So a lot of teens do smoke in the South because the prices are so low. Kids are price sensitive. You got a choice. You take $11.50 and buy a pack of Newports, or take that $11.50 and get yourself some lunch.
Corned beef.
So let me go back to the phone to you. I mean, I think that – but the question is, what he's suggesting is that we should be opening these doors for conversations with Kango and other people, other groups.
We should. Let's get some more callers.
That.
More callers.
So let me go back to the phones here. And Michael, they're also selling chocolate vodka in the wealthy suburbs. Let me tell you that. They tried to have me taste that stuff the other night at a tasting. I refused. I'm putting chocolate in my vodka. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And Wendell, you're on the air.
Yes, my comment, I've been a lifelong resident of Baltimore City, and I'm in my mid-40s. Prohibition does not work. When 30 years ago, when I was a teenager, they were selling loose cigarettes. They were selling cigars to smoke. So I don't have a problem with the tax, but just say, okay, this causes the state of Maryland money. It costs money for the medication or the medical care that people who smoke need, and we're going to pass it on to those who use the product. But there is no correlation between marijuana use and flavored cigarettes. And, again, I can go back 30 years, again, as a lifelong resident, but it's a cultural issue. And if you really want to change the culture in Baltimore City, and as an African-American man, I kind of find it offensive that I'm going to you don't improve people by doing everything for them. Eventually, you have to stand on your own two feet as an African-American man or woman and make choices. And there are consequences for the choices that you make in life.
So you're saying, instead of argument's sake of this conversation tonight, are you saying you are opposed to the idea of raising taxes on the...
I'm opposed to the premise. I support it. If you make the argument that the state of Maryland or the taxpayers in Maryland take on a burden for the medical care associated with cigarettes, and we're going to pass it on to that community, I can support that.
Well, thank you, because...
Go ahead.
I'm just saying you raised an excellent point, which we haven't made tonight. An excellent point. Cigarette smoking and the disease caused by it. cost all of us hundreds of millions of dollars in the state of Maryland, billions around the country, because we pay the Medicaid cost, the insurance cost. When we reduce smoking with these tax increases, you dramatically drop this cost that we all bear. And like you're saying, it's only fair that that cost be made up for with these taxes. So it's another benefit of raising cigarette tax. I just want to say these public health revenue measures of increasing cigarette taxes, increasing alcohol taxes work. And Maryland is at the head of the curve now in reducing underage drinking and alcohol abuse, reducing teen cigarette smoking. Now let's also reduce teen use of these deadly cigars and smokeless tobacco.
Before we go back to the phones, did you want to jump in, Bruce?
The premise is very fallacious. I mean, people think that smokers don't have health insurance. If, God forbid, unfortunately, someone who's a smoker, an adult smokes or uses tobacco products, and they have some health issues thereafter, they have health insurance that they're paying premiums on that will take care of it. I don't think smokers have the burden through higher taxes of covering the health care costs of other people. That is grossly unfair. It's discriminatory. And, you know, here we have naturally a mandatory health coverage law. So it's really – it's you have to keep remembering, get cut through all the smoke and mirrors that you're hearing, that these are people that are anti-tobacco. They do not want adults smoking or using tobacco products, not just children, not just kids. I don't want kids coming anywhere near tobacco products. I'm vehemently opposed to it and would do everything I could to assist in that regard. But the burden's always put on the adults, and these groups want the adults to not be able to continue to use tobacco products, so increasing their taxes or making it more difficult to buy.
I just want to respond to
him. I promise to get some callers in. You respond. Let me just get the callers. 410-319-8888. We're going to go to Darren, then Ashley. So, Darren, you're on the air.
How are you?
Well, welcome, Darren.
Thank you. So I think that this seems really disingenuous. If you don't want youth to smoke, raise the age limit of which they can sell it to them. Don't tax them at a higher rate. I mean, you know, I smoke, and I have health insurance, and I smoke cigars, and a good cigar will cost me, you know, $25, $30. And
you're my kind of smoker.
70% tax increase, all that's going to do is cause me to go to the district or the internet to purchase my cigars so that I can avoid paying this 70-cent bump, the 70% bump that's going to occur in this jurisdiction only.
Sir,
if you don't want children to smoke, make it so that there's an age limit just like alcohol.
Sir, if you're purchasing a cigar in upwards of $5, $10, $15, this proposal in the budget does not does not pertain to you.
Yes, it does.
It does. What I want to say is this. Mr. Barriano.
All OTP products.
All OTP products. Mr. Barriano says he would do anything to reduce teen smoking except the one thing that's known to work. The one thing that's known to work in state after state, including in Maryland, is what Sean Tarrant has been fighting for all these years, raising the price of these products, raising the tax. That's what works, and if he really wants to reduce teen smoking, he should support the governor's proposal.
Let me just say, if it's about teen smoking, which I think the majority of people are finding there's an argument to that, then why are you taxing? Why would you tax something so expensive that kids wouldn't buy it, but adults would enjoy buying it?
Now, and I got to clear this up now. As far as the bills that I've proposed have always been $2 or less. I'm not the governor. This is Delegate Tarrant. So he's interested in doing them all. I was never interested in doing them all.
His tax proposal,
for all the OTP products. So the thing is, I do understand the caller's concern, we do have to find some medium ground in that, because I'm really interested in the cheaper products and not the expensive cigars. With you,
let me jump back to the phones and go to Ashley on Randallstown. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good evening.
Hi, Ashley.
For having me. You know what? I just wanted to make a quick comment. You know, when it comes down to taxing, you know, for these, like for tobacco products, as long as there's money to be made, and it's, you know, someone to really to benefit from that, whether it be taxing, you know, tobacco products or alcohol or anything else, you know, there's always going to be a battle over that. I think the most effective way to get teens and get the youth to stop them from using, you know, tobacco products, any type of smoking products, is actually to appeal to those teens and make you know, smoking and things like that not cool. I think, and like the caller before, the last caller was saying, it's a cultural thing. If you want to change, you know, change the behavior, you have to make whatever the behavior is unattractive, and you know, not by just the price, because if you raise the tax and the kids can't afford it, I mean, they're going to get it either way if they want to do it. But if they don't want to do it, then, you know, that'll bring everything down. And I think you'll probably be hitting more closer to home once you take the money out.
Okay.
That's about it.
Thank you, Ashley.
No problem.
Well, he's right that we need to do more than just raise the tax. And in Maryland, we did pass a law making restaurants and bars and workplaces smoke-free, which is great. That has reduced smoking and secondhand smoke deaths. We need to raise this tax. We also need to fully fund the tobacco prevention program to do what the gentleman is saying and have ads out there that will discourage smoking. We don't fund that program near enough, and we hope that some of the money from the tax on these other tobacco products goes to fund the tobacco prevention program. You need to do all three. And in Maryland, we've made significant progress in reducing cigarette smoking, saving lives from that. Let's save lives from these other products also.
Gentlemen?
Vinny said it all.
410-319. Do we have time for one more caller in here? Two, baby? 410-319-8888. Let us go to Norma. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, Norma.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make a comment regarding the guest. He stated that he's not interested in or don't want to sell tobacco to youth or children. He wants just adults buying tobacco or cigarettes. However, you don't start as an adult smoking. Normally, young people, you know, you start smoking at a young age. So I don't think, and I still think it's geared to youth so they can continue those habits. That's my comment.
You have wonderful callers, Mark. She's making a point. Most smokers start when they're 11, 12, 15 years old. That's when they get addicted.
11, 12. That's
the age. That, 12, be under 18. 90% of smokers start under 21.
That's
under
true.
21.
Many 11,
of them.
12.
Many of them.
There are myriad
of
reasons why they start.
They start. And
listen, it's such. You can use all the excuses you want. These are people that want to stop smoking. They want Maryland to be anti-tobacco. They want no tobacco products sold or used in the state of Maryland. It's
so
unrealistic.
Let me encourage everybody out there to let your legislators know how you feel about this issue, how you want them to vote, to raise the taxes or not raise the taxes on all tobacco products in the state. Part of it is being directed towards the flavored cigars and tobacco products that Sean Tran's been dealing with for years. So let your delegates know which way, and senators, which way you think they should vote. We've been here this hour with Sean Tarrant, delegate from the 40th District here on the west side of Baltimore.
Thank you.
With Vinnie DeMarco, who is president of Maryland Citizens Health Initiative.
Thanks, Mark.
Bruce Beriano, who is a lobbyist for the Maryland Association of
Thank
Candy
you, Mark.
And Tobacco Wholesalers. Good to have you all with us. Folks, stay with us. Next hour, we're going to come back. When we come back, we're going to be jumping into the State of the Union address from right, from left, and middle, and see what you think. We're looking forward to your thoughts. Stay with us.